Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Live from Dynabody, you're listening to The Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate you tuning in to us. Dynabody Fitness has everything you need for your home, Brian. Dynabody.com. You can go there and you can check out all the different places, schools literally all over the region, I should say. High schools, different entities. What's up, Shane? Going through the process of getting brand new gyms, entire fitness centers that say we need all new stuff. They make it right here down at the plant, and then they take the stuff and then they refurbish it and then they sell it to you. That's where all that savings comes from, dynabody.com.
And they've got it all. We'll talk about them more coming up over the next 2 hours. Also, Tennessee and Florida this week. Who's going to be available? What do you do, and how do you approach this game coming up on Saturday? 3:30 kickoff on CBS, part of a CBS doubleheader with Alabama and LSU coming on at 8 o'clock. So, going to be a big day of college football on Saturday. We should get some schedule adjustments and the times and everything for the final 2 weeks of the season coming up today. We'll talk more about everything that happened around the SEC this weekend as well. Lane Kiffin struck first in that Egg Bowl Mississippi rivalry, and Mississippi State fans are not particularly happy about the way that their coach approached the game. So, Mike Leach, not known for being a big rivalry guy. Well, in his first taste of the rivalry game, Lane Kiffin went all in for the Egg Bowl, and Mike Leach treated it as another game that's now not sitting particularly well in the state of Mississippi.
I just never have been. Remember coaching search time?
Yeah.
Brian, for us, when Leach was like a really, really hot candidate, like really hot.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't get him.
Agreed.
I don't want to say not impressed, because he's doing something I've never done, so I should have respect while I'm saying it, but I just do not like how he goes about his business.
He has won relatively big a couple of times at a couple of schools that are very difficult to win big at, but didn't sustain it really at either place, and ultimately didn't win a whole lot when it came time to the end of the day at either place, and now he's parlayed that into a Mississippi State gig, and now they're not as enamored with him as they were a few weeks ago.
Where it just means more, and you devalue a rivalry game.
Yeah.
That's just so polar. Like, we used to joke, we could tell what game week it was just based on how the coaches were acting.
Yeah. There's something to be said for steady, but there's also
pretending like something that's there isn't there is counterproductive. It's the Egg Bowl. It's the biggest game you play every year. You know, like Tennessee not treating this game, trying to treat this game like it's anything, you know, like it's just another game for us. I'd be like, no, it's not.
It's Florida.
It's Florida. If you get rolled by Arkansas and Kentucky creeps up and beats you, if you go get beat by 40 against Florida, no one's going to care about those other games. I mean, they do. Don't get me wrong. It matters. It'll get brought up in conversation. But if you go get Alabama to Auburn, like, you don't think – like, it matters. You don't think there's Auburn fans sitting up here going, the gap is widening, it's time for Gus to go.
Oh, absolutely. I think Saturday made it – I mean, and they won that game. Auburn won that game a year ago. And –
the gap, but people will be saying the gap is widening. We need to, it's time to move on.
And I don't know that there's a great argument against that right now.
And maybe there's not, but to your point, he won the game last year.
Yep.
But he lost it so catastrophically terrible.
Yeah.
That's where people go with it. I don't know. It's
why rivalry weekend is fun. And Tennessee didn't get to play in rivalry weekend. So We'll focus on a little some of the things that happened around the conference, but a steady dose of Tennessee, Florida coming up. And, again, Ramon Foster joins us for the 11 o'clock hour, as he does on Mondays. Going to be interesting, I think, who's available coming up on Saturday. Jimmy Himes mentioned on Sports Talk last week that Jerry Guarantano had not been to practice for a couple of days. There are several reports of players out due to contact tracing after a positive test in the program last week. But as far as we know, only one will get updates, presumably in some form, from Jeremy Pruitt when he speaks to the media coming up at noon. But this is, if Jerry Guarantano is one of those people that's in contact tracing, even if you have him back for game day, does this solidify your thought that Harrison Bailey should be the guy for this game, especially if he's taken the majority of first-team snaps in practice with Guarantano out?
Aren't you going to have a hard time telling Bailey that it's not his turn when he's been the one out there practicing? It's like, hey, I know you've been the only one practicing, but we're still going to let him play.
When you place as much value on practice as you have this year,
that's
how do you not?
That's kind of where I'm at, and that's kind of when Jimmy was reporting that, I was kind of tailoring my – that's why I've been talking about Bailey more often than Jarrett for this particular matchup.
Yeah.
I don't know how staying true to what you say all the time – you know, and he said, you know, the best players are going to play. We're going to play who we think gives us the best chance to win. But I don't know how you say that and then don't give Bailey a chance when he's been the one out there practicing, presumably practicing well. Because from everything I can gather, he's getting a little better every week at practice, too. And that's a hard thing to do, man. I remember having conversations with Fulmer and Randy Sanders when I was a freshman. You know, what's not clicking this week? You know, practice. What are you having a hard time with? Because you're not practicing like you're playing. And I remember my response always was, I was a three-sport athlete my entire life, and I was always injured. I don't do practice well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're over there going, well then we don't want you to play. Yeah, you can't, you have to. I had to learn how to be a good practice player because I always had the attitude, just give me the ball, it'll be all right. And more often than not, it was the, you know, part of the problem, hence a lot of my problems in life. But the details and the practice is something you have to learn, and I wouldn't, you know, Bailey probably had to learn it too. Just about everybody does. So if what I'm hearing is true and he's practicing better and executing at a more consistent rate or whatever you want, however you want to say that, I don't know how you don't play him. I mean, I kind of thought they were going to play him last week.
I did too.
The week before. So now, especially now that, you know, Jarrett was out for concussion stuff, and then he got back out there, and this week, you know, now it's tracing or whatever. He's not out there. I mean, that's just more days and more opportunities for him to prove that he's ready. I think you got to give him a chance whether you think he's ready or not.
I agree. I think you've reached the point in the season where, you know, you're not giving up on the rest of the season, but you've, and I said it last week, Jared Guarantano may, in your opinion, give you the best chance to win, but he's not winning. So at some point, that has to count for something, too. That has to count for, look, he's doing these things, and he's gotten you close, and you're there, but you still
didn't
win the game.
You're still not winning. You're still not winning, and that's where this is where I like to separate it, because a lot of fans don't. Just because you're not winning with Jarrett doesn't mean you're going to go win with Harrison Bailey. There's more problems than that. He's not the only reason that you're, you know, he had a 13-0 lead against Arkansas when he got knocked out of the game. I mean, it's not just Jarrett that needs to play well. He doesn't play defense, giving up, 31 unanswered, 24, what was it? Arkansas, 24 unanswered points. Yeah, I mean, he's not a free safety. He doesn't do that. So
even in the games he wasn't playing well, we said at the time, this team has more problems than how the quarterback's playing. I put the Kentucky game squarely on his shoulders because he gave him 14 points and he didn't score 14 points. And you put yourself in a hole that you weren't going to dig out of. But beyond that, it's not been just him. But at the end of the day, you can't make the he gives us the best chance to win argument over and over when you're still not winning. So, you know, that's kind of
and this week might be a mute point this week because you have the Heisman front runner, in my opinion, sure, coming to Knoxville with a first round draft pick and four other draft picks on the offense, and I don't know that we have the ability to score enough points to win the football game. Like, that's why it's 17 points.
Yeah.
We can score some points on them, but you're going to have to take haymaker after hay. If you try to play a clean, straight-up football game against Florida, it's going to look like it did against Kentucky.
Yeah.
You might mess around with them for a little bit, but you're not going to beat them.
So you got to find your way somehow.
Run game and deep balls. Take your shots.
And that's what they're going to have to line up and try to do Saturday at
3:30. Channel your inner Casey Clawson and, quote, throw that bleep deep.
Yep. I'm all for it.
Hey, we'll Casey, what play do you want to run today? Throw that bleep deep.
Try to get it rolling. He did it once against Florida. He did it a couple times against Florida, 2001,
twice,
2003. Yep. And one of those victories was keyed by throwing that blank deep at the end of a half.
Right. Throw it up.
Gave him a touchdown that was the difference in that game. All right, we'll come back here. It's Dynabody on the air. Kane Show, 656-9900, 866-656-9900. If you want to join us, we'll take a look around what happened the rest of the SEC. Coming up on the other side on the Eric Haynes Show.
And I'm looking for a quarterback. And I'm wanting a quarterback that can remember the plays, get people in position, and throw the ball on time. And the only person that could do that was a sixth grader. And he looked great in practice. And I stuck with him. And we're four games into the season. We've not won a game. And my dad says, you know, what about trying that guy over there? And I said, Dad, he doesn't practice well. He doesn't do this. And I was so hard-headed about what I wanted in practice, you know, like you say, some people are just gamers. And I put the other guy in, and we start winning. And my question with all that is Pruitt in a situation now, so deep in the season, with telling everybody he gives us our best choice, if Bailey were to start and he were to win, is he afraid of that? Is he afraid of people saying, see, we told you. I guess what I'm saying is he being so hard-headed that he's, you know, got narrow vision on this thing? Because to me, it's clear. To do the same thing over and over again and expect different results is what, guys?
It's insanity. Yeah. Eric,
That's what I feel.
Eric, you've been out there. I think the guy that gives you the best chance to win in practice can change over the course of time. Does that factor into it at all?
If I thought that Pruitt thought that Bailey might mess around and be good enough to go win a game with the rest of the things considered on the football team, and he didn't because of ... freaking anything, I would lose my mind.
Right.
I genuinely believe that he has, to this point, thought that Jarrett gives him the best chance to win because, you know, you don't foresee the busted coverage touchdown that you get Auburn. You don't foresee those kind of things. And Jarrett, like we've talked about, does 95% of the things
sure, pretty
well. And that 5% doesn't rear its head in practice. There's no opportunities
exactly, for
it to. So,
well, Eric,
you know, he's probably...
Well, as I do. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't blame him for who he has played to this point at really any position. But at this point, even if you're not sure if Bailey gives you the best chance to win, you only have three football games left, and you need to find a way to get some good juju on your football program. And I'm just straight up saying it, and I love Jarrett. Talked to him this past weekend, wished him a happy Thanksgiving. But that doesn't matter when you're talking about running a football program. I think Pruitt loves Jarrett Garantano to the point
yeah, that
he, if anything happened, he would adopt him. But that doesn't mean he should be the starting quarterback this weekend.
Well,
I
mean,
think
look,
it's time you move.
Me, see, to me, it's beyond complaining about Jarrett, because that guy's been through a lot, and I believe in it. But the reality is, you can get tunnel vision as a coach sometimes. And when you're feeling heat from the outside, you start deflecting that by, you know, what do these people know? I'm the head coach. I know who gives us the best chance. He just strikes me as a guy that can do that. They can get hard-headed, stuck on something, get tunnel vision. Because everybody else that you talk to, people that really know football, they're like, you've got to give somebody else a chance. You've got to. You look at Jarrett's history. Something about Jarrett makes him the guy that comes off the bench to save the day. It's almost like he relishes that role. But like I said, if you're Pruitt and you're doing the same thing over and over again, and this is what we're seeing, or seeing 6 points the other way, come on, man, you've got to do something. You can't just sit back and tell media that's not your job. I'm just afraid this guy's going to lock himself into a position where there just is no winnable or tenable situation. Guys, God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Daryl, we appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I don't think Jeremy Pruitt pays attention to the stuff on the outside. I don't think he certainly doesn't listen to 1 second of our show. And he doesn't have social media. He is the football guy to end all football guys. And I think the only feedback that matters to him is what he gets inside his own building. And I don't know that it's there. And I don't know that that's always the right way to approach it. I think we've had some people over the years in a variety of jobs over there that didn't spend enough time with a finger on the pulse of the fan base, and that ended up being a bad thing for them. But I can tell you, Jeremy Pruitt doesn't have a pulse on anything other than inside his own building. Is that the best thing? I'm not going to argue that it is. I'm not going to argue that it's not, but it is the truth with him right now.
Yeah, and again, who gives you the best chance to win, like you said, can change over the course of the year. I will say this, though. I also don't think that Harrison Bailey is going to be good enough to just go out there and do a little, you know, a freshman game plan and beat the Heisman potential college football playoff football team in Florida.
That's what I thought it needed to happen last game. If you're going to do it, you know.
Live at Dynabody Fitness, it's the Eric Gaines Show right here. Used equipment, used cardio equipment. I'm looking through the window right here. They have a ton of it available. You want to get a tread climber, stair climber, elliptical, anything like that. All the equipment at a major gym they've got here. It's pre-owned, and they powder coat it and get it ready for you, and you can buy it or buy it as is. There's so many deals here for the gym for your house or your business right here at Dynabody.
656-9900 if you want to join us. Ronnie is up next. Ronnie, welcome in to the EA show.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate the show, but just a couple of comments. I've been a diehard fan for Garantano. I mean, the young man took a lot of beatings the first 2 years he played. And he's given us 120% of what he had to give. He's not all the problem, as you said earlier, Eric. I question some of the offensive play calling that we've had. It seems very conservative and predictable. That's one problem I see that we have. And I understand us talking about Bailey. He's brought a little bit of excitement, I guess, to the program as far as the fans. But what about Maurer? I mean, he's shown some ability to move the ball and throw the ball with accuracy, and he's definitely athletic enough. We're just not hearing very much about his possibility of playing. You got any comment on that?
I just don't think Maurer or Shrout is a better option than Jarrett himself. I don't think they're win in the SEC, especially with what we have going on, caliber quarterbacks. And that's for where they're at currently. Anything could change. But if I was the head coach, it's the easiest way for me to say this, Ronnie. If I was the head coach over there, Jarrett would have started all the games except maybe the last one. And I would be grooming Bailey and getting him ready to come in. And I think this week I would start Bailey, and I would have Jarrett ready to go. And he would know, because I would have brought him in my office and talked to him and said, they know Jarrett knows how much they appreciate him and how much he's given and what he's tried to do. And he knows that he's made plays that are, you know, p- potentially going to have him standing on the sideline. I mean, in both the last 2 years, he's been pulled from games for decisions he's made. So that's not like, and he's a smart young man, so it's not like he isn't going to understand it. But I would make sure he knew that this wasn't a, this, not that he would do this, but I would make sure he knew this. This isn't checkout time. This isn't, well, you've had a good ride and your career's over. You could be playing in the second series for the rest of the game. You need to prepare like you're going to be the starting quarterback. And if Harrison doesn't play well, then I'm putting you in. Or if he makes big mistakes, I'm putting you in. We got to try to win the football game. And at every position, there's guys that don't start that play. And they all have to have that same mentality. It takes a village. And you're in the village. So get your butt ready to go. We haven't seen Harrison start JG off the bench. We haven't seen that combo or Harrison start and play so well that he never comes off. You don't really know how that's going to go until you get in the game and you see how the offensive line is blocking. Are you able to run the football? So many different elements to being able to be a successful quarterback. I wouldn't wish it on any true freshman quarterback to get put in a game where you can't run the ball very well and they're giving you problems up front and the pressure's in your face. I don't have a lot of faith that Harrison Bailey would handle that any different than Jarrett would. So, again, I'd have them both ready.
Well, thanks a lot. All that makes good sense. So, thanks a lot for your comments. I enjoy the show.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Ronnie,
you
we appreciate it. We appreciate it. I hate to beat the drum on the quarterback again because we've said several times he's not the only problem, but he is.
Nope.
It is something that you can change and see if it gives your team some juice, and you also see what you have at a position where you're going to need someone else for the years that follow this one. Let's talk to Chet next. Chet, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, guys. Happy belated Thanksgiving and early Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chet. What's up, bro?
Hey, I got a question on the young lady who was playing for Vanderbilt. Short story, the team my son plays football on happens to have a female kicker for field goals, extra points. And last year, the team they were playing against clocked the girl after either a field goal or extra point. And one of the kids who is the leader on the team, all conference, all district, that kind of thing, 6'2", about 215 running back, also plays linebacker. The very next play, he clocked this kid like there was no tomorrow. And he basically sent the message, you don't hit the girl who's the kicker. And my question to you guys is, I would love to get both you and Brian's opinion on that. And I think about several aspects of it. So there's the locker room situation and kind of how does that work? Positions, so can they play any position? Do you think that's okay? Obviously, the getting hit part on positions other than kicker. And then do you feel like there would be, regardless of whether it's high school, college, whatever, that the guys may have a tendency to go, I've got to kind of look out for her? And would they then be as conscious of doing their own job versus if the player next to them was a guy, then they may or may not worry about that? So I'm just curious your all's thoughts on it.
You know, I look at it, and Eric, you've been in a college football locker room as a player, and I have not. But based on the comments coming out of Vanderbilt's locker room this past week, it was, you know, if she can do the job, she can do the job. And I think when you're talking about a kicker, you know, there are a lot of kickers around the country that are not in good enough shape to take a hit from 90% of the other players that are on the football field. And I think a lot of their teammates protect them in a similar manner right now, and so I don't know that it's that big of a distraction. Eric, what do you have a better perspective
Chet,
on it than I do.
Chet, you said excuse me, she kicks field goals and extra points.
She does.
That is where it would stop for me. I wouldn't want a girl punter, and I wouldn't want a girl doing kickoffs for that exact reason of here it comes, it's coming her way, and then you have to change, because when you get hurt in football is when you are playing anything but as hard as you possibly can. The minute you start like slowing up, that's when people get hurt. And if you're about to, you know, go lay a block and it's a girl kicker, and you slow up, and then one of the teammates comes and hits you on the front side of the ear hole, that may not have happened. I women golfers, they have their own league. They have their own basketball league. They play softball, not baseball. I believe football should be for boys. And if girls want to play, then I just wouldn't like it on my team. And I'm not a sexist person at all. I have two daughters. And when my 7-year-old daughter, who loves going to watch football games and watching football with me, says, "How come no girls play?" I say, "Because it's a boy sport." So that's just me. I'm old school. If they want to kick extra points or field goals, I'm fine with it. And even that can have certain situations that arise. But
go ahead. And the girl up here, she's like the kid for Vanderbilt. You know, she plays soccer, and I don't know if she's all state or not, but she's a really, really good soccer player. And you know, obviously this other kid was, you know, all conference, captain of their team that won the SEC. So obviously she's got some game, she's got some skill. But I just want to get your
perfect,
and Brian's take
I hope
on
everyone
just
hears
how
me.
That worked.
I'm perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah,
with
I'm,
that.
I'm.
I don't. I mean. I joke all the time and say kickers aren't part of the football team, but like they are, you know. So I don't care. That part of it wouldn't matter to me. It would be more of, can she do the job or not? Can she make the kicks?
Cool.
Does she have the leg? All that's good. But yeah, when it comes to being involved in a scrum for the ball or an open field tackling situation, I'm not as. I don't like
that. I just think there's some people out there, Eric, that they might not be as considerate as they should be, because they're like, hey, this is football, and if she's out here, we're going to pound her. And I think the same thing would happen that happened on our high school team, and that is there would be some degree of retaliation, and that never gets a good situation. But anyway, appreciate your all's input. As always, love the show. I hope you guys have a great night.
All right, Joe, we appreciate it. And again, I don't know that it's different than a lot of kickers, because looking at her in – her athletic background, she was more equipped to mix it up than some people we have seen wear a kicker's uniform over the years.
I know, but when there's a kicker, a boy kicker out there, and he's the last line of defense, no one slows down
or gets
weird. That's all I'm saying.
I understand. All right, we'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us on the Eric Haines Show. Remember, Ramon Foster comes along at 11. Is Jim Harbaugh the greatest flop in coaching history? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Eric Haines Show. Been the biggest bust that we've seen based on expectations, being a coach that's taken a team to the Super Bowl, but admittedly wears out his welcome everywhere he goes.
I'm typing in a few things, Brian,
okay,
to determine my opinion on that. I don't know that he's the worst flop ever. I mean, Charlie Weiss, Notre Dame.
Yeah, after the same
pretty,
kind
pretty
of thing,
bad.
After a really good
Had
start,
some success.
It went sideways in a hurry.
But I don't know when this is. 12 times, 3-9. Yeah, I mean, he's not good against ranked teams.
No.
9-13 against ranked on ranked matchups.
And exceedingly poor against Ohio State, which I won't fault him for too much, but also Michigan State, their in-state rival, who has not been all that great over his tenure.
And you got to be able to win some games against teams you're not supposed to beat.
Yeah.
And he struggled against Penn State. He struggled against Wisconsin. He struggled against Notre Dame. It's hard because I think this year particularly makes it – like, if he were having a good year this year, I don't know we'd be saying that.
But it's kind of been where he's been for the last few years.
I mean, I feel like they're recruiting at a pretty decent clip.
They have
some good players out there. If you're not – see, the problem with Michigan and Harbaugh is he's a Michigan guy.
Right.
So that always makes it harder to hire and, you know, to fire him based on just production alone. But it's the Michigan job in the Big Ten, which is pretty good competition. And, yeah, your main rival's Ohio State. But that could be a job. Okay, if I asked you, one of the hotter names in coaching right now, we talked, he put on a show last Saturday against Auburn. Steve Sarkisian becomes available. Do you hire him over Jim Harbaugh?
At Michigan, or do I fire Jim Harbaugh to hire Steve Sarkisian? I don't know that I do. Do I hire Steve Sarkisian instead of Jim Harbaugh if they're both available? Yeah, I do.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, man, that's kind of a tough sell to everybody if you're going to fire your guy in a COVID year to bring in Sark, who offensively is as good as there is. He really is. I mean, he's as good of an offensive guy as there is. Do you – I'm trying to think. What's the hot board for Michigan? Because if you're going to fire Jim Harbaugh, you brought it up. If it was candidate to candidate and neither one of them was there, I would lean Sarkisian's way as well. But if you're going to fire Jim Harbaugh, who do you bring in? You know, Mike Hamilton, when he fired Philip Fulmer, brought in the hot young name, Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. So – He knew who he was going to fire. You can't fire Jim Harbaugh unless you know exactly who you're bringing.
Yeah.
Would you fire Jim Harbaugh and hire Matt Campbell from Iowa State?
Yes, in a heartbeat.
I think I would too.
Honestly, if you can get Matt Campbell to leave Iowa State, which he has not been willing to do, and he is well compensated there, has said he's happy to stay there as long as he can. He has turned down what I consider several much better jobs. But just about anywhere, I mean, if I'm Auburn, I fire Gus Malzahn if Matt Campbell says he's coming. But I need to know he's coming first. But, yeah, I would fire Jim Harbaugh and hire Matt Campbell yesterday.
Yeah, I would too. But to your point, I don't think he would do that, man. I mean, you're going to a place that's firing one of their own who has won at a decent level in a conference that is tough to win in. That's why I'm like, you know, what do you, but see, Harbaugh doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's willing to just fire coordinator after coordinator after coordinator and keep his own job.
Yeah.
He's too proud to do that. I don't know what you do if you're Michigan. I mean, they're kind of stuck, man. It's the same situation that if Nebraska doesn't start winning, Nebraska's going to be in. Because Scott Frost is as good a young offensive mind as that there is, and he's your guy.
I think if Scott Frost doesn't win at Nebraska, it further illustrates the point that you can't win at Nebraska anymore.
yeah, probably. You
know, I mean, and people will say, well, what's the difference between them and Tennessee? Proximity. I mean, you can recruit people to come and play football at Tennessee. Are you gonna tell Johnny Five-Star that he needs to take a flyer on you as a coach to live in Lincoln, Nebraska for 3 or 4 years? That's a tough sell. And that's why I think it's tough for Nebraska to ever get back to where they were, because that's not how they recruited back when they won. But you can't recruit the way that they recruited back then. So,
are there any Group of Five coaches that you would hire to go to Michigan over? I'm going to fire Harbaugh and I'm going to hire.
Yeah,
blank.
I mean, I think Chatwell at Coastal Carolina is still a year away from getting a big job. I think the coach at Louisiana is, if he doesn't get the South Carolina job, is going to be a hot name. South Carolina's targeted Shane Beamer, who's been an assistant in a bunch of places, is an assistant currently at Oklahoma.
What about Luke Fickle?
I mean, I would fire Jim Harbaugh to hire Luke Fickle. I think he's been great at Cincinnati. Tommy Tuberville left that
dumpster
fire.
He's a Big Ten guy.
He's a Big Ten guy. He fits the recruiting. He fits the personality. And I think he's still salty that he's not the coach at Ohio State. You know, you're going to throw out – Texas is going to have a similar list if Texas opens. And they're going to target Urban Meyer, see if he wants to come off of TV. I don't know that Urban Meyer wants to come off of TV, but you make the phone call anyway. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to go coach at Michigan after having coached at Ohio State, but he's also just a big enough blank, blankety blank that he might. So Anyway, welcome back. Ramon Foster joins us for the final hour of the Eric Haynes Show, live from Dynabody next.